It felt like I was in a movie. This big apartment in Manhattan, all to myself. Like how in New York movies, everyone has these giant, gorgeous apartments. But outside, it was more like 28 Days Later or something. Empty streets, zombie apocalypse vibes.
In 2020, Jan was living in New York, working in the fashion industry. Jan's not their real name, by the way. In this story, everyone's going to be using fake names for reasons that will be eventually made clear. In March 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and Jan's roommates all left town. They were all alone in a big, empty meatpacking district loft.
There was nobody around. Everybody I knew had gone back to Cleveland or Nebraska or wherever. And, you know, for reasons, I wasn't really inclined to go back home.
How did you spend your time?
I watched a lot of Netflix. Everything was closed, so the bars, the clubs, the galleries, non-essentials. So I binged Friends and just walked around the empty streets.
And that's where the two of you saw each other?
I was doing the same thing.
Yeah. Mid-April, I think. About a month into it.
Yep. I just turned the corner onto 6 and saw the only other person out not wearing a mask. And I was like, oh shit, Jan, I know that face. You're stuck here too.
This is Jan's friend. We'll call her Hannah. Jan and Hannah knew each other socially, had lots of mutual friends, had talked a few times at parties, art openings, theater productions. Hannah's a playwright. Her family's mostly overseas, so when the theaters shut down, she ended up stuck in New York, binging streaming shows and wandering the streets just like Jan.
You know, we'd never really hung out before, but I always thought that they were cool. I like their style.
Aw, thanks.
I don't know if you remember, but right before COVID, I told you about that new play.
Yeah, that's right. You were talking about looking for a costume designer, and I'm like, hey, right here.
It was gonna happen. It's still gonna happen.
We saw each other on this completely empty street, and we were like, oh my god, hey.
Hey, person I know, you're stuck here too, huh?
Yep. And we're the last two losers stuck in New York.
We thought.
Yeah. Turns out, not quite. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
From Folk Process, we are Keeping the Bones, the podcast that reimagines and remixes classic weird tales and horror fiction into stories set today. I am your host, Jesse Keller. If you like the podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you share with anybody you can and follow and subscribe wherever you're listening. Our inspiration for today's episode is The Lost Club by Arthur Machen. After their chance meeting on the empty streets of Manhattan, Jan and Hannah decided to hang out for the day. The two of them got some takeout and headed to the park for a picnic.
It was great. We just got a bunch of bao and a bottle of wine, just talked, ate, chilled in the park.
Smoked some weed.
Yeah, just what we both needed, I think. I remember laying back, looking up at the stars, and feeling like I was sinking down into the earth. The stars, the universe was just getting bigger, and I said to Jan, I feel like I'm sinking. Sinking and shrinking. And they said they felt exactly the same.
Yeah. I buy very good weed.
After some period of time, Jan and Hannah couldn't agree how long, a thunderstorm blew in.
Just started pouring rain and, you know, we were getting soaked, so we just had to start jumping from, you know, awning to awning. And there's no Ubers or Lyfts anywhere, so what are we gonna do?
We had no service. It was like a dead spot. So our maps weren't working. We didn't know where we were.
We just got soaked. If we had jumped in the East River and got out, we couldn't have been more soaked.
They took shelter in an alleyway under an overhang, trying to get their bearings. And suddenly, Jan thought they knew where they were.
And I'm like, oh shit, I remember this place. I was passing here once with our mutual friend.
We'll be calling this mutual friend, Will.
In the like before times, before COVID and all that, I was bar hopping with Will and this area. And the last bar that we were in was closing because it was 2 a.m. So we had to, you know, get out of there. We're just walking down the street and Will points into this alley and is like, "Hey, there's a super exclusive club down here. I'm in it." And he said it was like the Nick or Soho House, a very bougie private club.
Soho House is sick.
Never been.
Dan took me there a couple times when we were dating. You gotta go.
Tell Dan to hook me up.
Too late. We broke up. You lost your chance.
Anyway, Will said it was that kind of private club. You need a member to invite you.
Will is old money, like old, old money. His family is New York royalty. So there we were in the alley in the rain, and Jan had just told me about Will in the club. And then like 2 seconds later, crazy coincidence, who do we see?
Will?
Yes. He comes up around the corner into the alley and he's pretty surprised to see us there, but he's like, "Hey, what's up?"
So I tell him what's up. We're stuck and lost. And I basically more or less beg him to take us into the club. I'm not sure he even remembered telling me about it, but he takes this long pause, then says, "Just don't ever tell anyone about the club. As far as the rest of the world is concerned, this club does not exist."
They followed Will to the end of the alley, where he knocked on a nondescript-looking door. It opened, and there was a doorman dressed all in black, who seemed to recognize Will. He let the three of them in.
So we checked our coats, but the weird thing was they also made us check our phones.
Yeah, they had this like weird no devices policy, apparently.
Yeah, and then we kind of tried to touch up because, you know, we were still wet from the rain and tried to dry off, brush our hair, but it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, but I was prepared to be like, you know, this is a hot new look. Why are you not soaked? Soaked is the new black. But nobody mentioned it. So.
Okay, and then tell me what it was like when you got inside.
Man,
gorgeous. Wood paneled, chandeliers, this huge room. Timeless. It was the classiest place I've ever been.
Yeah, same. Soho House can suck it. It was definitely like old school class, but there were these weird avant-garde touches. Like, did you notice there was those twisty octopus decorations?
Yeah.
Octopus.
It was a really weird design choice, but I just figured it was, you know, old New York. This place was probably started by, I don't know, Dutch merchants and shit. Hundreds of years back, and there were like merchants, seafaring, squids, I don't know. And then I start recognizing people.
Yeah, Jen nudges me and they're like, "Yo, do you see who that is?"
Okay, I was trying to be subtle.
Yeah, you were super subtle.
I was pretty subtle. I mean, I wasn't trying to embarrass our friend to be like, "Oh my God," you know?
The room was full of people Jan and Hannah recognized. Faces they knew well, though not personally.
There were politicians, influencers, tons of old money people. Those, you know, famous for being famous types.
The guy from...
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know who I mean.
I do. And there were probably like 50 people in there, and at least half the people were ones that I recognized.
Jan and Hannah tried to play it cool. They headed to the bar with Will to order drinks.
This was April of 2020, and this place was still open?
Yeah. All the quote-unquote non-essential places were closed, so I figured we were pretty lucky that Will brought us here.
And we were just too busy being like, "Oh my God, it's that guy. Shit, did you see who that was?"
I noticed that there was this door on the side of the bar. And all these people kept looking at that door, waiting for something or someone. And then it finally opens.
And the whole room goes quiet and everyone looks over.
And this guy comes out, dressed in all black. And he says, "The president is ready for you all." And the vibe immediately changes. It's dead silent.
After the announcement that the club president was ready,
Everyone in the room silently stood up, one by one, and went through the door to the next room. Jan, Hannah, and Will brought up the rear.
Everyone kind of files through this door, and it opens out into this huge room, like a ballroom. And it's really dimly lit. There's just a few lights here and there.
I'm like, oh no, this is going to be some like Eyes Wide Shut shit.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But it wasn't. It was, I don't know, but I'm still not sure exactly what.
When their eyes adjusted to the darkness, Jan and Hannah saw that the whole group was crowded around a table in the center of the room. On the table was a huge, leather-bound book with candles on each side. And sitting at the table behind the book was the person they assumed was the aforementioned club president.
I'll just say that he's one of the biggest tech guys in the world. A Silicon Valley billionaire. Yeah, if you were to name the top five guys off the top of your head who you think fit that description, then he's 100% one of those guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
The president turned the book around so it was facing away from him. And then he made an announcement to the room.
He said something like, "You all know the rules. The one who opens to the blank page will belong to the committee and to me."
Yeah, I think it was more like, "You will be at the service of the committee or at the disposal of."
Yeah, maybe. That sounds right. Disposal of? But it definitely had the vibe of, "You belong to me."
Then the doorman, dressed all in black, standing behind the president, took a sheet of paper out of his pocket and began to read from it.
He was reading out names. He'd read a name from the list, and then that person would go up and open the book to just a random page.
And what was in it? What was in the book?
I have no idea.
It was really dark in there, so it's hard to see.
And everyone's going up and opening to a page and looking at it, reading something that they seemed very interested in. And some of them, you could see they were psyched about it. Nobody said anything, but you could see they were all like, "Oh, fuck yeah!" And then the club president would look at it, nod at them, and then they would turn and go through the side door out of the room. And like I said, some of them were very recognizable people.
Yeah, but not everyone, at least to me.
Well, same.
But I did recognize this one guy next to me, but not because he was super famous or anything, just because I knew him. He was a director, and he had directed my second play off-Broadway a couple years ago. And I remember he was kind of an asshole. I mean, he didn't want to be doing theater, and he'd been directing TV lately, so he was trying to get a feature produced.
We'll be calling this acquaintance of Hannah's Arthur.
Did you talk to him then?
No, I mean, it was dead silent, and so I felt really weird about it. Nobody was even whispering, plus he had this look like he was freaking out, halfway excited, but also kind of terrified. He was staring at the book and at the club president.
The man in black kept calling out names. People kept going to the table, opening the book, and then silently leaving the room. Soon, there were just a few people left. Arthur was looking more and more nervous. Then the doorman called their friend Will's name.
He took this deep breath and walked over to the table and then opened the book. And he looked at it. Then I saw him lean over and whisper something to the president.
He did?
Yeah. And they both looked over at us.
I didn't see that.
They definitely did. Then he went through the door and I'm like, what the fuck? What do we do now?
But in a second, he came back through the other door where we first came in, and he came back over to us. So at this point, there's just like five or six people left besides us. And this guy, he's like, losing it.
This Arthur, the director.
Yeah, Arthur. It looks like he's about to have a panic attack.
Names kept being called,
and the strange ritual with the book continued. Then, the man in black called Arthur's name. He went to the book, opened it,
and he just slumped down.
And the president gave no indication of his feelings. He just looked at Arthur and went, "Come with me."
So Arthur followed the president, and the doorman followed behind them, and they went back into the back corner of the room. And I guess there must have been another door there, but it was really dark. I couldn't tell. So in our perspective, it just looked like they kind of faded into the darkness and they were gone.
And Will is like, "Let's go."
They went out the way they came in. Nobody spoke as they got their coats and phones and went back outside. The rain had stopped, and as they got to the mouth of the alley, about to separate and go their own ways, Will stopped them.
He said, "You were my personal guests at the Lost Club. Remember what you promised. Never mention the club or what you saw." And then he said we would never see that guy again.
And I'm like, "Wait, what the fuck do you mean we'll never see him again?" And he said, "Don't worry, he'll probably live for years and years, but as of today, he has disappeared." And I remember him saying it exactly like that. Disappeared.
After he told them that Hannah's acquaintance had disappeared, Will walked off, and Jan and Hannah went their separate ways.
We were kind of just like, "Well, bye." And we both went home.
I almost felt like I was in a daze. I don't even remember getting back to my apartment.
3 weeks later, Jan got a text from Hannah.
It was a link to a news story about her friend, the director.
Yes, this Arthur.
Yeah, Arthur. I can send it to you if you'd like, but it was just about him missing.
How long had he been missing for?
3 weeks. So I texted the link to Will, and I was like, "Dude, what the fuck?" And his response was, "What? Who's that? Do you know him?"
"During that time, I was in Massachusetts for a little over 2 months."
This is Will. He agreed to an interview and even offered to use his real name. But Jan still insisted we not use anyone's real name. They're still a little scared.
"Do you know anything about the Lost Club?"
"Only from what you've told me."
Here we are, the village.
This might have been like the one of the awnings we ran under.
There, because definitely the street we were running down had like just awnings spanning the entire street.
Oh, we got an alleyway up here.
There is an alleyway up there.
This might be it.
I think that's it, yeah. I think this is the alley.
There is a door at the end.
There is.
That looks like it could be it.
We should definitely check it out.
When I was visiting New York last summer, Jan and Hannah took me out to look for the entrance to the Lost Club. We eventually found the alleyway, and there was indeed a single door right at the end.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yes. Do you mind if I record you? I'm kind of reporting a podcast story here. Is it all right?
Okay.
This is Jan and Hannah.
Nicole, so can I help you?
Yes. Can you mind telling us, like, what's inside of here?
Inside?
Inside the building here, yeah.
Music kids.
Music kids?
This is the back door.
Would it be all right, like, if we just came in and had a look around just really briefly?
Sure.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Let's have a look and see.
Okay, thanks.
Nicole led us into a narrow hallway with 7 or 8 doors in it. Piano, guitar, drums.
Huh.
So, is this kind of more or less...
No, this is much smaller.
Yeah, it's completely... Did they? It looks like it's been divided, I think.
Yeah, like one big room broken up.
Yeah.
My name is Nicole, and I'm a piano and violin teacher.
And how long have you been doing that here?
I've been teaching for about, like 6 years.
All in this same space here?
Yeah. No, I was actually a kid here taking lessons. So, I mean, I've been in this space since I was a kid.
So this music kids, you said, has been here that whole time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, since the 90s, it hasn't changed a bit.
Well, so that it seems that was not the place you remembered.
Not exactly, but there were definitely elements of it.
There were, I think, in the flooring, the tiles, right? The tiles. They were the exact ones from the coat room. It was the coat room. Those tiles that we saw, the little space of tiles, was the coat room. Mm-hmm.
But she said, Nicole just in there said, it's been exactly like this since the 90s. So, at least according to her, there's no way that it could have been. Well,
that couldn't make sense, because we when in 2020, there. When we went, it was this huge room. A huge room.
So, all right.
I mean,
it looked old. The construction looked like it had been there. It was dirty and dinged up, and it looked like it had been there for decades.
Those tiles were definitely
100% the same ones.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it. The end of the story. Until Jan contacted me out of the blue a few months ago. They wanted to talk.
Okay, so, two things. I don't know, what to make of them.
Okay.
So the first thing, there's this pretty well-known person, and I'm gonna be super vague about this for obvious reasons, a public figure.
Okay.
Who has gone missing within the last few weeks.
Uh-huh.
I think you know who I mean.
Yep, I know exactly who you mean.
So I'm like 90% sure that I saw that person at the club.
At the club that this Will friend took you into?
Yeah.
The Lost Club?
Yeah. I'm actually 100% sure that I saw them because I thought, it's, A few days later, I was at this fashion show and I bumped into Will's cousin. So I actually knew that Will's cousin worked for said public figure.
Okay.
And so I was thinking she also knew Hannah's friend, the director.
Arthur, we were calling him.
Yes, Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
So when she got a second, I took her away so I could speak privately. And like I was dropping hints about Arthur's disappearance and about the public figure. And isn't it weird? These two people are missing. And I let something slip about seeing Arthur and Will in April of 2020, hoping that she would know something. But then suddenly she was all like, no. Will wasn't in New York.
Will's cousin told Jan that she was with Will at the family summer house on Martha's Vineyard until May of 2020.
So she pulls out her phone, she opens photos, and she's scrolling through all these pictures. And it's their entire family. And in the middle of all of them is Will. He's standing there in the pictures with everybody else. April 3rd, 4th, 5th. And I'm just scrolling through these pictures looking at the dates now like, huh? How is that possible? Someone can't be in two places at once, right?
So this is the time period when you were at that club with Will.
This was April of 2020, and apparently he was with them for the whole month. Like, am I crazy? But I'm not, because Hannah was there. She was there through the whole thing. She remembers. And if she wasn't, then I would absolutely think I was crazy or dreaming or something. But I'm not crazy, right?
Thank you for listening to Keeping the Bones. This episode was inspired by Arthur Machen's story, The Lost Club. Besides me, the voices you heard today were Zephyrus Miller, Isla Shearholt, Sophia Ulm, and Ian Tripp. If you've been enjoying these stories that we've been telling so far in Season 1, and you would like there to be a Season 2 of Keeping the Bones, the best way to do that is to head over to patreon.com/keepingthebones and kick in a few bucks. We also really appreciate good ratings and reviews of Keeping the Bones on your podcast app of choice. That really helps us reach new listeners. And you can also follow us and share on all of the usual social media places. Head over to keepingthebones.com for the links. And that's where you'll also find our merch store, where we have some really great designs inspired by our episodes. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another show.